Praise God. Why don't you shut your eyes? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father God, I submit my heart to you, my words to you, this message to you, this day to you. Lord God, speak to each of us, I pray. Lord God, do a work in each of our hearts that we leave this place with a new knowledge of the next step. Father, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Please take your seats. Praise God. Well, Pastor P sends his love. He was here at the 9, and then he is ministering in another church now. I got the end of his message, and it stirred me up. It built me up. It blessed me up. So God is good. Amen. I want to very quickly read a few verses. I'm going to canter through them. And then we are going to go somewhere today. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 13, and I'm starting at verse 44. But before I go there, I want you to say to your neighbor, it's payback day. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to turn. Kick back, push back, and then pay back. Amen. Praise God. Right, Acts chapter 13, and we're starting at verse 44. And this is just, we're looking at the lives of Paul and Barnabas, the apostle Paul and Barnabas, who's working with him. And it says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of the Lord. But. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us. I'm jumping to verse 48. Then when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified God and the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city. They raised up persecution, expelled them from the region. Say, but. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and they came to Jerusalem. And the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14. Now it happened in Iconium that they went to the synagogue, and they spoke, and a great multitude of Jews and Greeks believed. But. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, which is bizarre, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word, granting signs and wonders at their hands. You see, here we see God's people doing God's business. You have a call to do God's business. There are things that only you can do. Are you hearing me? No one else can reach who you can reach. No one else can do exactly what you can do. Are you hearing me? You know, say it again, certainly, Junior. No one else can do what you can do. And no one else can reach the people that you can reach. Amen. Amen? You see, you've got a mission. You've got people who are depending, literally their lives are depending on you. You know, when I look at some of the people that by his grace I won to the Lord over the years, you know, some fall away, some stay. You know, one of the ones who stayed, for example, who I get the chance week in, week out to see the impact of that salvation is Hannah Dorito. You know, she was tough to win to the Lord. She was a Jehovah's Witness, and I had to sit there with her, and I knew today was the day of her salvation. And I sat with her, and I had, because her mind believed that Jesus couldn't be God because of her background. And she was tough. She was arguing. She knew what she knew. And I had to keep coming back and coming back and coming back with, I don't mean different trips, I mean through the Bible, and just helping her to reach the place where she could then believe, wow, Jesus isn't just the Son of God, he is God. But you see, I now get to watch her. I've seen her children born. You know, her marriage, the impact she has on lives, the people who've come to Jesus through her. Are you hearing me? Turn to your neighbor and say, there are people depending on you. You know, what a joy to be used by God to help someone else. There's nothing like it. You see, Paul and Barnabas knew that there were people depending upon them. That people's lives, people's destinies, people's futures depended upon these two men. Now, just a little bit of what they went through over those few weeks probably that we read. You know, they encountered really horrible envy. Opposition that was in just like this spirit of intimidation that will have come with it. Manipulation. Hatred. Spite. That was the word I was trying to remember that I'd written down. Spite. Spite is horrible. You know, when someone comes at you with spite, with a desire to hurt you because they don't like what's going on in your life, it can really be a weapon that hurts. Are you hearing me? You see, they went through all this. They were thrown out. They were rejected. Their words were ignored. Their words were twisted against them. Have you ever had somebody poison other people against you? That's exactly what went on. Others were poisoned against them. But, say but. This is the amazing thing. The Bible says they were full of joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, how did they do that? They were full of joy. You know, let me tell you, whatever your mandate is, whatever your mission is, you know, we all have a common mission and then we have a unique mission. What's our common mission? Say it loudly. Souls. Say souls. You know, the Bible says that Paul, the apostle, wrote to Timothy, the pastor. Timothy was a pastor. And Paul wrote to him and said, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, evangelism is not something that is just for evangelists. So if you're not an evangelist, put your hand up. Oh, everyone's an evangelist. No, I'm saying if you're not a fivefold evangelist, put your hand up. Right, but you see, we're called to do the work of an evangelist. Are you hearing me? You know, that great commission that came from Jesus was to every single one of us. He said, go. How many of you have 2 feet? Put your hand up and wave at me if you have 2 feet. So then say after me, I can go. Say, I will go. And my 2 feet are the evidence. Are you hearing me? We can go, so we will go. Because Jesus said, go. So we all have a common mission, but we have a unique mission too. A unique mandate that only you can do. There are people only you can reach. There are things only you can do. And you know, I don't know if, you know, you're like me, but there's times when I watch others and I watch their ministry and I'm in awe of it. Just going, how did they do that? You know, I remember one particular one that really blew me away was, I don't know how many of you saw Pastor P when he did the national TV interview in Israel on secular TV that went right across Israel. And I'm listening to this interview and hearing this wisdom beyond measure, this sensitivity and ability to speak with such boldness and yet cleverness, with such understanding of geopolitics, of prophetic struggle. I mean, and I'm sitting there going, how on earth could anyone do that? Because he was on there for 20 minutes and it was all great. If I'd been on there for 20 seconds, are you hearing me? I'd have really blown things up in the Middle East. And that is not a region that needs anything to be blown up. Are you hearing me? You see, you have a mandate. You have a mission. But, say but. The enemy is always looking to derail you. He's always looking to hurt you, to stop you, to discourage you, and to make you give up. You know, just yesterday, how many of you are here were at Fixing the Foundations? Did you enjoy it? Praise God. You know, God moved in his power. So many people impacted. We looked at 5 different relationship areas through the day. And so many people who thought things were just, they didn't even know there was an issue there. And God just ministered and brought healing and life. You know, but there's something about pioneering which isn't always easy. Okay? It's not always easy to pioneer. You know, I remember my dear friend Larissa had a picture of me about 23 years ago. It was before I was married. We used to pray together regularly when she lived here. And she said, I see you with a machete in your hand going through the jungle and just slicing the way. And as you go and the branches and the foliage is coming flying back at you, but you keep going through all the pressure. And she said, and what's behind you is the amazing thing. All these people following. You know, and I didn't have a clue what that was about. I just thought, well, I have no desire to wield a machete. I mean, it was really near that time of what went on in Rwanda. And I was just like, I don't know what this girl is seeing. You know, but you see, pioneering isn't always easy. Let me say something else. Your mandate isn't always going to be easy. The things you're called to do at times will be the easiest, they'll feel like the easiest things you've ever done. And other times, you'll know, like my husband was preaching at the 9 o'clock, you've got to apply all the pressure that you've got to push back circumstances and just to stand, believe, and get the job done. So yesterday, from about 2 o'clock, I had a thumping headache. You know, I was just feeling the pressure of pioneering. There was nothing in particular at that point at all. I was just, you know, wanting to, you know, when you're so desperate for everyone to get their breakthroughs. And I'm always the one seeing the people who I'm not sure if they're getting their breakthrough. And the way it wrenches on me, when I know I can see into someone's heart, I can see their needs. And I can see them not yet seeing their needs. And it hurts me. And so, you know, I was just pressing on and pressing on. And God was doing what only God can do. And he was ministering to people. But I was feeling it. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes it's just like a walk in the park ministry. Other times it's not. But it's the mandate. Say mandate. And then we're just... The atmosphere was amazing. The anointing had descended. I mean, it was there all day. But we were just about to close up, and we had some really important things that we were about to then do, ministering into everyone who was married. And then suddenly, say suddenly, we get somebody outside saying, there is queues of cars outside. There's an event that you guys didn't know about. You need to empty this building right now. So I'm literally, the anointing's there, and I walk to my husband, still holding the mic, and said, will you come now and help? Because we were going to do this marriage thing together. And he said, we need to be out now. And I just, you know, a bit startled. And just as sensitively as I could, shut down an atmosphere. From wide open hearts to bless, 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 and let's leave. And anyway, sort of, you know, now my headache's even worse. And I got home and I wasn't, you know, sometimes you don't know what's just bothered you. I mean, I knew that bothered me, don't get me wrong. But I got home and I went upstairs and I just burst into tears. And I'm just like, oh God, this is so hard, you know, this is difficult, Lord. And I'm just crying and crying and I didn't know why I'm crying. And then, you know, I tried my best to sort of splash my face and look brand new. But of course, my husband could tell that I'd been crying. Why are you crying? And of course, I didn't know why I was crying. I'm fine, but you're the communicator. Why have you been crying? I don't know why I've been crying. Will you please communicate? I'm really trying, but I haven't got a clue why I'm crying, you know. And of course, he just maybe thought I didn't want to tell him why I was crying, but I really wasn't quite sure yet. And then, you know, I started to realize, you know, that when those words came, you need to shut down now. You see, I didn't just hear the words. I heard the spirit behind the words of intimidation, of I'm shutting you down. I am stopping you in your tracks. And it was like a punch in my guts. And I just started to reel from it. And so I went upstairs yesterday evening and I just got in the presence of God and I said, God, you know, what is this? Because, you know, you see, what the enemy wants you to do is to lay down your weapons. What the enemy wants you to do is to lay down your building utensils. He wants you to stop what you're supposed to do. You know, Roro's messaging to us all, wow, fixing the foundations is going global. And I'm thinking, well, you can take it. Are you hearing me? Because what the enemy wants to do when he comes at us is he wants to cause us to say, that's it, you know what? Or even just to, you know, I would never give up. I know I can't. I haven't got it in me. I don't know how to give up. I was never trained that way. But at least to say, well, just don't talk to me about that for at least 2 months. Are you hearing me? You see, what the enemy wants to cause you to do is the very things that you've stepped out, you've reached out to a neighbor. You've shared the gospel at work and you got shut down. You've loved on someone. You've reached out, prayed for them to be healed and they got more sick. What does the enemy want you to do? Shut down. You know, you're doing what you know you're supposed to be doing and then you suddenly get a whack. And what do you want to do? Shut down. You see, that's the plan of the enemy. And as I got into the presence of God, I heard this word. I heard God say, kick back. Kick back. Kick back. You see, if the enemy tries to kick you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You see, he wants to pull you down, but we've got to be provoked to greater works. We've got to be provoked to say, do you know what? Vengeance belongs to the Lord, but I'm sure going to partner with him. Are you hearing me? We've got to be those who don't wait 2 months to get back up, but who say, I'm getting back up right now. And Satan, you will regret the day that you tried to hurt me. You know, we've got to be those who are ready to arise. You know what makes us righteous, though a righteous man falls? He might be kicked. He might be punched down. He might stumble down from his own messes. But you know what makes us different is we get back up. Though the righteous man falls down, yet he gets back up. Hallelujah. You see, these two apostles were trained well. What am I talking about? Luke 9, verse 5, if we can have that up there quickly, and then Luke 10. Luke 9, verse 5. And it says, whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet. You see, for us, it's not about, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, are you hearing me? But we've got to be able to say, I'm going to shake off that dust. I'm going to deal with that sucker who thought that he could throw a punch. Are you hearing me? And then what does it say in Luke 10, verse 11? Luke 10, verse 11. just over in the next chapter. The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. You see, what are they doing? They're saying, I'm going to wipe off that dust that reminds me of that rejection, or that dust that reminds me of that opposition. I'm going to shake it off my feet so that I'm ready to go again. You see, Paul and Barnabas had been trained. Jesus' disciples were the very ones who trained Paul. They were the ones who raised him up in his ministry. And they will have said him, do you know, when the 12 went, Jesus told us to do something. When we as a 70 went, Jesus taught us to do something. When they shut the door in your face, when they mock you, when they put you down, when you fall down, when it all goes horribly wrong, kick back. Are you hearing me? Now, you know, the amazing thing, you see, what I love is, you see, if Satan had known what killing Jesus would have done for all humanity, would he ever have killed Jesus? No. You see, this is what I love. Proverbs 6, verse 31, we know this scripture, but it says that when the thief be found, what does it say? He has to pay back sevenfold. Are you hearing me? You see, it's not payday today. Because payday is when you get paid for the work you've done. Payday is when you get what's due to you. Are you hearing me? No, it's payback day. You see, on payback day, it's when we go to the enemy and say, for what you did, I'm taking seven times what was originally going to take place. You know, if he tried to crush you as a result, when you were reaching out to someone, you can get back and say, do you know what? I remember the day that Abby, my daughter, was born. She was born flat, no signs of life. It was very traumatic. We didn't know if she was going to make it, wasn't told whether she was dead or alive for 2 hours. And for the first 20 hours, they were just saying, we don't know whether she'll make it. And I remember lying in this room where someone was stitching me up, no baby, no husband, they're all being done, you know, like emergency, the ER doctors all around her working on her. And I'm lying in that room. And I said, you know what, Lord, right now, I haven't particularly got the faith to be believing for her health. I'm going to leave that to the thousands of Christians who are praying, because they were. She was born on a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. He even knows why you're born the day you're born. And I remember saying, God, I can't engage my faith right now, but this is what I promise. Someone's going to get saved because this happened. And I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before. I remember making a decision in that moment that the devil would regret the day he tried to take my daughter Abigail. Are you hearing me? You see, there are so many different ways where the enemy has tried to put you down. He's tried to hold you down. He's tried to stop you. He's tried to hurt you. He's tried to affect your marriage, your family. He's tried to do things that have just, you know, on the inside, you want to just say, I've had enough. But what's God saying? It's time to kick back. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together to the Lord. I want to ask you just to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Carly, and if you're somewhere nearby, thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you just in these moments to survey very quickly. Just to do a little survey of your life, of your ministry, of the things that you know you're mandated to do. And if there have been things that you know were designed as weapons against you, and you've reeled as a result since, you've still felt the effect of those things, right now I want you to look those memories in the eye. I want you to picture that very thing happening. The door that shut in your face when you were door knocking. The person who you prayed for to be healed who ended up getting worse. The boss who spoke words that cut you down. That thing that happened at home or in family that made you feel, do you know what, I'm just going to retreat. I was hoping for too much. See those things right now. Look at them. And I want you now to allow something to rise up on the inside. I want you to start to speak to those situations. I want you to start to declare wherever you are, I am coming back. I'm coming back. I'm kicking back. I'm turning back. I'm taking back the land, the territory that the Lord has given me. I take back my marriage. I take back my family. I take back my ministry. I take back my soul-winning gift. I take it back. I take it back. And not only that, I claim the sevenfold, and I declare that it's payback day. I will partner with you, Almighty God, to take vengeance against the enemy. So let's declare together in the name of Jesus. I take it back. I turn back. I kick back. I push back. And I declare payback day. In the name of Jesus. Now give a shout of praise to the Lord.